Newsline at 563-263-2442 or send us an email to mail@voiceofmuscatine.com. First with news, KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Good morning and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning and welcome to God Talk. Since this is a very special once a year morning, I should say Happy Easter, or He is Arisen. Today is Easter Sunday all across the world. So I want to begin by asking you a question on this Easter Sunday. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ as depicted in the New Testament? I've had so many discussions with so many people over so many years about the whole issue of was he or wasn't he? And I have a second question that's built on the first. Okay, what is at stake for your life now and in whatever is to come after this life? On the basis of whether you believe or do not believe the biblical narrative of the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. What's it about? Why is it important, assuming it did happen? Well, as I say, I've had many discussions. Let me begin by telling you a story. Over a course of 37 years, by the way, I served as pastor, 10 churches in 3 states. In the first 2-point charge in southeastern Wisconsin, worked hard for nearly 3 years, and the church was in a beautiful place, and I was a student appointment and then went to a full-time appointment, like they went up to the next level. And the guy who was appointed, you got to picture this, right? You work hard. You're happy about your work, and the people seem to be in a good place. Easter Sunday, the pastor, their new pastor, said, "I really don't believe in the resurrection. I really don't believe Jesus was resurrected." I'm not clear why, whether he thought like many, that, oh, it's impossible, we'll come back to that. I got a slew of phone calls. People were so upset. How could a pastor, on Easter Sunday no less, claim to the congregation that he or she did not believe in the physical and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I'd want to say, you know, keep it to yourself. I mean, that's just my humble thing. Certainly not Easter faith, Easter Sunday. Boy, in my years, the last thing I ever wanted to do was to injure, wound, decimate a person's faith in God. Wow. Well, I've had my share of conversations with atheists. Most recently, the 4 years I taught at Muscatine Community College, my course in Introduction to World Religions, pretty much every semester, I had an atheist or two among the students. And listen, I'm totally okay with that. Let me kind of segue for a second. I spent a good 10 years as an agnostic. An agnostic is one who doesn't know whether there is a God. Now, there's two forms of agnosticism. One is just simply saying, I don't know. I mean, yeah, sure, people have claimed, but I don't know. The second, more vociferous agnostic is the one who says, not only I don't know, but you cannot know whether there's a God, which really is a statement of faith rather than knowledge. How could you know that you cannot know? I don't understand that logically. Okay, let me come back to atheism. An atheist is one who says or can say there is no God. You can say there is no God, all you want, but what you're really saying, since you cannot have any definitive proof, whatever that might look like one way or another, is really, I do not believe there is a God. Okay, I respect that, as I respected atheists in my class. So you could say, well, you know, I may believe that Jesus was the Son of God, or whatever that may mean, but I don't believe in the resurrection. You can say it isn't, why? Well, it's impossible, but what do we mean by saying something's impossible is according to the understood known, quote, laws, unquote, of nature, we don't know how that could happen. Well, but you see, God has God's own laws. And as Jesus said, as did the angel Gabriel, in announcing the fact that Mary was going to give birth to Jesus, nothing is impossible for God. So I could ask you that. Do you believe that nothing is impossible for God? Well, let me just come out with it this way. Without a resurrection, the resurrection as depicted in the New Testament, which we'll get to directly, there would be no Christianity. There never would have been disciples coming back from having flown all over the place out of fear because Jesus was arrested. There never would have been apostles. Something happened. If it's accurate or partly accurate, whatever, to the depictions in the New Testament, something happened. I don't see any other way to account for the dramatic changes in behavior from the desperate, disparate, depressed group of fallen disciples turning around and becoming the great apostles, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ all over the known world. Something happened. Now, for many of us, when you think of the moment of the resurrection, you might think of something like the Shroud of Turin, which is right now in Turin, Italy, northern Italy. In all the investigations, if you've not ever checked into the Shroud of Turin, T-U-R-I-N, go online sometime today or whenever and research it. There continues to be great debate on if its authenticity, that is to say, is it a fake or did it go back to the first century? And there's a good deal of positive and negative elements. There are supporters and deniers, but nevertheless, the jury remains out. So what this is, and it wasn't really discovered until photography, when you could look at negatives, it's the idea is it was the shroud that the body of Jesus was covered in. So many things are like it, but then you couldn't tell until you looked at a negative that there's the image, this spooky image of a man, maybe Christ, that could have been imprinted onto this ancient cloth at the resurrection. If you picture the woof, whatever that woof may have been, so that he no longer was dead, so that he rose up and left the shroud behind. It's an interesting history. I think it was in the 14th century when it was discovered in the way that it has not disappeared since. Quite a story. Well, you know, you could say that when that, like, Shroud of Turin, empowerment of God, whatever that was, that's the moment when Jesus went from a single person to the cosmic Christ, who first visited us and his disciples and has been active ever since. I must say, I'm one of the many over the years, I have encountered the living Christ. So for me, in this great mystery, this is not just a statement of faith, but that there is this incredible cosmic Christ. The bottom line for me, and at the heart of what's really going on, is that the resurrected Lord can always resurrect you, me, your heart, your soul, your spirit. As I said, there is no wound heaven cannot heal. There is no death God cannot resurrect in terms of being dead of heart. I remember a time in my life when I didn't feel anything in my heart. It was like I was dead. I'd had a series of events. And it took God a year. But God revived, renewed, resurrected my heart and spirit. Wow. It's interesting in the Gospel of John, it's as if Jesus Christ, as he walked among us, was actually already resurrected during his earthly ministry, but nobody could finally discern that until after his death and resurrection. So in John 11, prior to his arrest, Jesus told Martha, one of the two sisters of Lazarus, who, if you remember or know, had been dead, he was a close friend of Jesus apparently, had been dead 4 days. And Jesus waited and went to resurrect him, which is kind of a sign of what was going to come later. But he had this incredible brief interchange with Martha, where he just comes out and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. That's from the 11th chapter of John. Not I will be, but I already am. People cannot see it. Wow. How do you make sense of this? Okay. This is where our, quote, theology can help us. Here's the deal. We live our lives forward, right? But we tend to understand it backward. You know, hindsight, right? You can look back and say, oh, that's what was going on. I missed this or whatever. Well, it's certainly true for the whole thing of theology. Theology means literally theos, God talk. And the best definition for theology is faith seeking self-understanding, or what is it I believe? What is it you believe? So in your reflections, begin with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' day, and then move back before that to the resurrection of Christ, who now is no longer in the flesh. Now he is the cosmic Christ, more than just one man. So Jesus said before his death in John 12, very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Well, that's exactly what's happened in his resurrection. He now has grown beyond the mereness of a mortal. Let me turn to Paul. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was at first the greatest opponent of the Jesus movement. He was a Pharisee who was out against the Christians. And then in Acts 10, there's this phenomenal event, or Acts 9, excuse me, where he's going to Damascus with a couple of people, and he has an encounter with the risen Christ on the road. There's a cloud, and there's a form, and he falls to his knees. He becomes blinded at that point. Who are you? I am Jesus. Whom, you know, why do you persecute me? I mean, it's like all it takes, my friends, is one event. I've had some of those in my life. Just one event that there is no going back to what happened before that. Now you know that you know and can't deny that there's God, that there's Christ, that there's the Holy Spirit. And this, for me, is the crying need of the church today, by the way, to get back to experience the experience of Jesus Christ, the resurrection one. This, I think, would be a good time for us just to let that sink in and take a weather break.
When severe weather breaks out, tune in to AM 860, FM 95.1, KWPC for detailed weather information.
Did you know that we are still experiencing a seller's market? The knowledge and expertise you will find at Pearl City Iowa Realty will help you get the best value for your home. Call Pearl City Iowa Realty at 563-263-0433 today and be on your way to a new home.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Highs level off around 34 today under overcast skies. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 22 tonight. Mainly clear skies and quiet. Overcast skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 46. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
This is your radio station for music, news, and information. KWPC, Muscatine, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Okay, we're back. The Christ that Paul knew was the resurrected cosmic Christ, bigger than just a man in a body. He put it this way, the importance of knowing Christ, the resurrected one, who we can all know directly. This is from 2 Corinthians 5. I love this passage. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's at the heart of the Easter message. We no longer know Jesus of the flesh. So that, I have to say this. It fascinates me when people get so hung up on trying to understand the historical Jesus, going back through the narratives and, you know, when we no longer know him that way. We cannot. Albert Schweitzer, in a great book, the early part of the 20th century, called The Quest for the Historical Jesus, pretty much blew out of the water the idea that we could actually for certain know who Jesus was when he walked among us. We can only know him through the eyes of those who report it. And there's more than one set of eyes, more than one report. But we can know him, and indeed need to know him, in spirit, and join into a union with him of spirit to become a Christ-bearing person, not just a Christ-believing person. What we need are more Christ bearers, not merely Christ believers. Okay, so what is at stake in our believing that Jesus was in miraculous fact resurrected from the dead in ways that are astounding? He walked through doors, but he ate. Incredible things happened that changed lives, and that for me is the biggest thing. Lives were permanently changed. That's a mark of God. Once again, I go to Paul. He takes up the question of whether Christ was raised from the dead and its absolute necessity for our faith and for our eternal life. He does all this in one of the great chapters of Scripture that I'm going to read and talk about the next few minutes. It's 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. Now, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which you're being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain, that's kind of one of his themes here, believing in vain. For I handed on to you, as of first importance, what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Sometimes he tended to brag, my friends. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Here we go. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Wow, that's heavy. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. I got to repeat those couple of verses. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins, meaning no resurrection's possible for you here or in what is to come. It's like saying, you know, the airplane never took off, so all the baggage that you've put into your being waiting for flight is useless. Never happened. And then, if for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Now, there are people, I know, who want to reduce Christianity to a religion only about this life, when in the Scripture and in the first millennia, this life is an antechamber to the building of what comes after. That's when you get the fulfillment, the fruit is in eternal life, not just here. But so many of us today in our culture, we want it all here now. If it is only for this life that we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of death has also come through a human being. For as in Adam all die, so also will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom of God, or the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. Sure wish he'd get that one done. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that this does not include the one who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to Christ, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who put all things in subjection under him, so that God may be all in all. In other words, it's kind of like a hierarchy. First, Jesus is going to get everything worked out, and then he'll turn it, hand it up to the Father, so that God may be all in all. Okay. I'm going to skip down here. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body? With what kind of body do they come? And this is talking about the not just the resurrection of Jesus, but the resurrection at the end of time that is believed according to the scriptures. Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that it is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. Not all flesh is alike. But there is one flesh for human beings, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. Okay. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. So we're going to have a spiritual body, which I'm not sure how it's going to look, but it sounds paradoxical, but that's what we're going to have. Spiritual, but it's going to be a body. Listen, I'm skipping down some. I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. I always get shivers here. Why? Because I've said these very words at funerals and committal services. When this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Where, oh, death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow, that's quite a statement. So what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to you today? Well, it says to me today that God's in charge, that God will see through to the end what God has promised, that there is eternal life at the end. This is the ground of peace. Jesus said in John 14, my peace I leave with you. I give you my peace. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He said, okay, I'm going to die, but then I'm going to come back, which he has. So that where, and I'll come back and I'll take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. Remember the Transfiguration, where the three disciples who were there saw Jesus transfigured into a spiritual body. Once in a dream, it was like an angel in this dream, and then while I was talking to this guy, I watched him become transfigured. He just turned into fire, but not burning fire, just this. And I woke up. I mean, you can't stay asleep with that, but it was like a vision of what is to come. Like the song says, the best is yet to be. The best is yet to be. It's going to be great. So the resurrection is the ground of our hope in our own eternal life, and that we are yet going to have a better body even than what we had in this life, our body with all the problems we have with it. And, boy, it's only a short-lived. Whatever troubles you have with your body in the world to come, the body you're going to have will be without pain. God's going to wipe away every tear. You're going to be in this wonderful form. That is the promise of the New Testament. That's what we celebrate today in Jesus Christ. We are at the end of our show. If you'd like to hear this, I'll have it on my website later today, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Have a great Easter, and breathe in the resurrection spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen.
KWPC, K236 CF Muscatine. Available